If you'd like to spend some time with real people with a real heart for God, we welcome you to visit us at Harvest Church in Alexandria, Virginia. Our Sunday morning services are held at 10:30, and our Family Night Fellowship takes place on Wednesday at 7 p.m. Come experience God's awesome, life-changing power as we worship in His presence, fellowship with one another, commit to discipleship, and share God's love through evangelism. For more information or directions, visit harvestnova.com. That's harvestnova.com.
This morning, I'd like to talk on the subject of how do we hear the voice of God? Is God still speaking?
Yes.
Is God still talking to you and me? And it's been a long time since Jesus walked on this earth, but I believe God is still talking to His people today. We live in a world where there's a lot of uncertainty. We hear all kinds of voices, some good, some bad. But how do we hear the voice of God, which always is true, which always leads us to the right path, which never leads us astray? How do we hear His voice among all the other voices that are out there? You know, we live in the United States, of course, and there's a lot of voices. There's a lot of things that the world says is right. But according to the Word of God, it's not right. A lot of voices say this is good and this is evil. And God said in the last days, people will call good evil and evil good. And I believe we're living in those last days. We're living in a mess. But I know one thing for sure, God still reigns. We serve a risen Savior. We serve a sovereign God. And no matter what comes our way, we are victorious in every situation. Because we walk by faith and not by sight. No matter what the world may say, we put our trust and hope in Jesus. And as we begin to listen to His voice, as we begin to put our trust in Him, He will show us our destiny. He will fulfill His potential in all of us. But we have to learn how to listen to that voice. And how do we do that? Let's turn to 1 Samuel chapter 3. 1 Samuel chapter 3. Starting at verse 1. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. And in those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not gone out yet, and Samuel was lying down in the house of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel, and Samuel answered, "Here am I." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here am I, you called me." But Eli said, "I did not call you. Go back and lie down." So he went and lied down. Again the Lord called Samuel, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here am I, you called me." "My son," Eli said, "I did not call you. Go back and lie down." Now Samuel did not know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. A third time the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here am I, you called me." Then, finally, Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go, lie down. And if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went down and lied down in his place. The Lord came and stood there, calling as he had the other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." The voice of God. So how do we hear the voice of God? I believe we have to be in the right place physically and spiritually to hear His voice. Here we see Samuel in the best place possible to hear the voice of God, in the temple, right next to the Ark of the Covenant. And when God began to speak to him, he didn't recognize that voice. For he only heard the voice of Eli through his entire life. He was a young man. He had all those duties he had to do in the temple. And he had just assumed that when he heard the voice at nighttime, it had to be Eli. And he ran to him four times or three times. And finally on the fourth time, after a little bit of Eli waking up and realizing God's calling this young man, Samuel recognized that it's God calling me. It's kind of funny that Eli, who was in the right place, right in the temple itself, God was not talking to him. Eli no longer heard the voice of God because he lived in a disobedient life. His life was full of sin. Even though he was the high priest, he did things that were not right. And even though God warned him time and time and time again, your two sons, they're stealing from me. They're sleeping with other women. You need to do something about that. Eli did nothing. He allowed it to go on in the temple of God. And because of his disobedience, when God began to speak, he bypassed Eli and went to this young boy called Samuel. So it shows us that we have to have a heart after God. We have to be in a place physically that's right for us to be alone with God. And we have to have a spiritual heart that is open unto God. So when God speaks, we know it's him talking to us. It's not our neighbor. It's not our congressman. It's not the president. It's God himself who's more powerful than all those people put together. And when he speaks, we need to learn to listen. And the only way you're going to be able to hear the voice of God, you have to begin a spiritual walk with the Lord. He has to be the most important thing in your life. The great thing about hearing the voice of God, his answer is always correct. He never gives you the wrong advice. He never leads you astray. He never takes you down the wrong road. God, when he speaks, it's true. It's never false. I read a book the other day. His name was Peter. He's from Czechoslovakia, and he was in the Sudan ministering to the pastors there. And he was arrested, thrown into the Sudan prison. And he describes this prison in Sudan, unbelievable circumstances, a little 8x12 prison cell with about 20 men stuffed in that little prison cell. One little place to go to the bathroom. And of course, when he first got thrown into prison, he said, "Why me, Lord? Why are you doing this to me?" And then God began to speak to him and saying, "I have a plan, I have a purpose. You are going to minister the gospel." And the great thing about being in prison, everybody's miserable. You know, it's not just you are miserable, everybody's miserable. And when he began to share the word of the Lord, as he began to show that God was supreme, people began to get saved. People began to get saved in that prison, and they had to move him. Put him in solitary confinement. Get him out of that situation. See, God has a plan. And when God speaks, when God directs, he's going to show you his perfect plan for your life. So we need to learn how to listen to that voice. God brings light into the dark places of our life. And you may be here today, maybe online or here in the sanctuary. It's good to see a good crowd today. I know you came because of me. Right. But it's good to be in God's house. And when we hear his voice, you know, and for those that are watching online, Lord bless you. I hope you enjoy the service, you know, there in your living room or in your bathroom, wherever you're watching me today. Can you feel his presence? The voice of God. And you may be in a tough situation today. Your life may be full of chaos. I'm here today to tell you, begin to wait upon God and listen for that voice of God. For he will direct your path. He will get you out of that situation, and he'll make your life shine once again. Because that's what he does. God is a, He turns beauty into ashes. He can turn every situation for good if we allow him to do it. But we have to listen to his voice. Because he's the only one that can give us the clear direction. Because a lot of our friends, what do? They give us advice, whether you want it or not. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad advice. But the great thing about when you get advice from the Lord, it's always correct. It's never will lead you astray. It's always positive. And when you walk with God, you come out as pure gold. That's the great thing about serving God. You have to be close to him. What's the second thing we need to do if we're going to hear the voice of God? We've got to get quiet before the Lord. You know, in a Pentecostal church, we don't like quiet. You ever notice that? We like the noise. We love the loud music, you know. But if we're going to hear the voice of God, we've got to become like Presbyterians. You know, you got to be quiet before the Lord to hear his voice. God wants to speak something into your life today. I really believe that. That's why the Lord gave me this sermon. And if you're going to hear the voice of God, just like Samuel had to lay down before the Lord in a quiet place, and then God began to speak to him some mighty things, and how God was going to raise that young boy up to be the prophet of the whole country of Israel. A great, awesome responsibility. But his heart was right with God. And as Samuel laid there real quiet before the Lord, God began to speak to him. God began to pour stuff into his life. And I'm here today to tell you, if you want to really hear the voice of God, you've got to turn off those things. Turn off your cell phone, right? Turn that off. It's always buzzing and beeping in your pocket. Turn it off. Turn off your iPad. Turn off the TV. Turn off the radio. Back in the old days when I was young, you just had to turn the radio off. You know, now you got 1,000 different things that grab your attention. But as you turn those things off and you get alone with God, God begins to speak to you. Do you want to hear his voice? I know I do. In these uncertain times, I want to know what God wants me to do with my life at this time. And I don't know, some of you know this, some of you don't know this. For the last 30-some years, my life has been about missions. We go all over the world. You know, but God has said, okay, that's enough of that for right now. And it's kind of thrown my life a little bit haywire. And I say, God, whatever you want to do with my life, whether preaching in Virginia or preaching in St. Kitts, it doesn't matter to me. Wherever you want me to go, I will go. I will listen to your voice. I will obey your command. And God wants to do something in your life today. I really believe that. But we have to learn to listen to his voice. We have to get quiet before God. Elijah, the great prophet in Israel, Pastor Tim preached about him last week. As he's on Mount Carmel, you know the story how he called fire down after hours and hours of the 450 Baal worshipers tried to call a spark down from heaven. Nothing came. They couldn't do a thing. Elijah just called the power down. Fire came down, consumed the sacrifice and the rocks and the water. Great man of God. He rose up and he killed all the prophets of Baal. And then Isabel rose up and said, I'm going to kill you before sundown. And instead of Elijah waiting upon God and listening to the voice of God, what did he do? He ran. He ran and he ran and he ran and he finally ended up in this cave. God found him in this cave, and then God showed him a great and mighty wind. And God wasn't in the wind. And then he showed him a great earthquake, and God wasn't in the earthquake. And then he brought fire down from heaven, and God wasn't in the fire. And as Elijah sat in that cave, God came as a still, small voice. That's how God works. He doesn't yell. I like to yell. God does not yell. He speaks in that still, small voice. Why? Because if you're going to hear that whisper, you know what's going to have to happen? You've got to be really close to hear him whisper to you. I have a friend of mine, his little daughter, who was like 5 years old. And she asked, "Daddy, does God ever speak to you?" And he said, "Yes, God speaks to me all the time." He said, "But you got to get quiet and alone with God." So she got down from the kitchen table, walked out into the living room where it was dark, no lights on. And about 2 minutes later, she goes, "I don't hear anything." And we're the same way, aren't we? We get alone with God. 2 minutes later, we go, "I don't hear nothing. That's it, God. I gave you my little two-minute window. You didn't speak to me. I'm moving on with my life." But if you're going to hear from God, it's going to take time. You got to have patience. God speaks in a whisper. In order to hear him, you got to get close. And it's amazing. God often speaks the loudest when we're the quietest. And if you want to hear the voice of God, you have to be quiet before the Lord. It's just got to be you and him. As you're set in your special place, wherever it may be. A lot of times the Lord speaks to me as I ride my motorcycle. Unbelievable. I'm on my bike, nothing around me except wind. I just on my bike and I'm just listening to the Lord, and the Lord begins to speak and dumps things into my life as I'm riding. Now my eyes are open, believe me. They're not closed. I'm not crazy. But wherever your secret place is, get alone with God. And it may be a long time ago that you've heard the voice of God. Get back to that place where God can speak into your life. And as you do that, you'll be amazed what God's going to call you to do. Because God wants to talk to you. A lot of times in our prayer life, we do all the talking and God does all the listening. I think it's time for us to do a little bit less talking and begin to listen. You know, we come to God with our prayer list. "I want this, I want that, I need this, I need that. Lord, take care of that. Thank you, Lord, I'll see you tomorrow." But see, God wants us, after we finish praying, "Lord, I'm not moving until I hear from you. Lord, I have my day all planned out. But I want your perfect will in my life. I want to know that I am in your will today, Lord." And as you begin to wait upon God, he will begin to drop things into your life like never before. You know, the world says, you got to stay busy. Don't just sit around, you're lazy. Go ahead and get out there and get things done. And God says just the opposite. "Wait on me, and I'll renew your strength." He says stuff like this, "Be still and know that I'm God." That's God's way of getting to us. As we're still before him, he puts stuff in our life. He speaks to us. He gives us direction. And I'm here today to tell you that if your schedule is too busy, get rid of some of that stuff. One good thing about the virus is that it has slowed a lot of people down. It has showed us what really is important. For the first time ever in my neighborhood, I've seen families together riding their bicycles, fathers with their kids, mothers with their kids. First time ever I've ever seen that. They're all walking together. They're cooking together. They're in the house together. They're spending time together. Because that's the most important thing besides God is your family. And as the virus has slowed us down, it has showed us what really is important. And the most important thing in our life, as God has slowed us down, is he showed us that he is the most important. His relationship with us is the most important relationship ever. And if you're having difficulty in your life, check your relationship with him, for he has the answer. You talk about racism. You know what the answer to racism is? Jesus. Only Jesus can change your heart. He's the only one that can do that. You can go to all the rallies you want. You can burn all the buildings you want. You can do all that stuff. You can demonstrate. But only Jesus can change your heart. Let God speak to you. Let him change you from the inside out. And as you begin to spend time with Him, you know what happens? You become more like Him. People begin to see Jesus in you. Where you used to have a hot temper, now you have patience. Where you had prejudice, God has broken that down. You love everybody. You don't care what color they are. You just love them. It makes no difference to you. You don't look at them as a black person or a white person or Hispanic or whatever. You look at them as people, saved and unsaved. That's how God looks at us, saved people and unsaved people. There's only two types of people, according to God. Those that need to be saved and those that are saved. And our job is to get out there and save the world. Let God use us to make a difference here. And it needs to come from the churches. The churches need to stand up and say, hey, you want to combat this problem? We all have to begin to love each other. That's the only way to do it. Many times the world will tell you what they think. And a lot of times we get some bad advice. Don't take that advice. Wait on the Lord. Wait on God. You know why we get other people's advice? Because it's easy. It's quick. I ask you your opinion. You tell me your opinion. I don't have to wait for it. You just tell me. But when I ask God's opinion on this situation, you know what? I have to wait on Him because He doesn't always answer me right away. It takes a little bit more patience, right? When you're waiting on God, waiting for the answer. So don't take your neighbor's advice unless it lines up with the Word of God. Because they'll give you their advice. Sometimes good, sometimes bad. And then after God begins to speak to us, what should we do? We need to learn how to obey that voice, right? Samuel, once he got the message from God that Israel was going to be in a battle, that God was going to judge them, that Eli and his sons were going to die. What a terrible vision to have. What a terrible word from the Lord. But Samuel took that word of God and he shared it. And you know what always amazed me as I read that story? When Samuel began to tell Eli what was going to happen in the future, which Eli already knew, the Lord already told him in chapter 2 what was going to happen if he didn't turn around. When Eli heard that, you know what always amazed me? Eli did not repent. He didn't tear his robes. He didn't fall on his face. He didn't say, woe is me. I'm a terrible person, Lord, save me. He just went on like usual. I guess he thought, well, God has warned me time and time again, and nothing's ever came about it. I don't have to worry about it. But if you read chapter 4, not too long after what Samuel prophesied, you see where Israel lost 34,000 men in one day. And Eli lost his sons. They lost the Ark of the Covenant. And when Eli heard all these things, what happened? Eli said he fell back and broke his neck, and he died. Wow. Because he did not obey the voice of the Lord. Eli was already warned, you've got to do something about your sons. You've got to get this temple in order. People know what's happening. You're making a mockery of me and my word. And Eli did nothing. So do it God's way. When God begins to talk to you and tell you what to do, do it His way. Don't be like Sarah and Abraham. Remember that story? The Lord said, you're going to have a baby, baby boy. Your heritage is going to be more numerous than the stars in the sky. And then all of a sudden, Sarah and Abraham came up with this great plan. God can't do it. We'll do it. Don't ever think that you can do it. Don't ever try to help God. Go along with His plan. And of course, we know what happened. They had Ishmael, and then from that day forth, it's been terrible ever since. Because they did not listen to the voice of God. Do it His way. Sometimes the voice of God gives us direction, which way to go, where we should be. Sometimes His word gives us a blessing, and I love the blessing. When God tells me He's going to bless me, whoo, I love that. And sometimes the Lord gives me a word of warning. So whatever God is speaking into your life today, whether it's a word of warning or a blessing or direction, whatever it is, listen to that voice. Listen to that voice. Don't scuff it off. Don't be like Eli. Be like Samuel, who said, "Speak, Lord, for your servant hears your voice." So how do we hear the voice of God? We have to wait on Him. We have to be in the right place physically and spiritually. And then whatever He says for us to do, we do it. What I'd like to do this morning, if it's possible, if you want to wait on God for a few minutes here, as the praise team comes up, just turn that place right there where you're at, or you can come up to the altar and kneel and pray. You got some things in your life and you need God's direction, whatever it may be. Just spend a little bit of time alone with God. You're in the right place. You're in the church today. And for those that are watching online, you're in the right place. You can turn your living room into a sanctuary right now. Because wherever two or three are gathered in His name, the Lord's in the midst of that. So wherever you're at. So I'm going to invite you just to wait upon God for a few minutes here. Let God begin to speak into your life. And you'll be amazed what God will say to you today. And when you hear that voice, obey that voice. Listen to that voice. Don't think it's not God. Because God is calling. God is talking to you and to me today. And it's up to us to wait on God and listen to Him. So whatever you like to do, come to the front or right there where you're sitting. Just say, "Lord, I need some direction. Lord, I need some healing. Lord, I need a word from you today, Lord." And as you begin to wait upon God for the next few minutes, as Chad and the praise team play, just be open to God. Let Him begin to talk to you. Let Him to begin to minister to you. For we all need minister. If you come in with a problem and you walk out with a problem, it's not God's problem. God wants to take care of that. God wants to do something today in your life. Don't walk out the same way you came in. Let God change you. Amen. Amen.